Hello everybody, it's Liz here with Sport, and I've got a bit of a variety. I've got a Stoke story, a Vale story, a cricket story and a dart story. So I've tried to mix it up a little bit. So I'll start with football, and I'll start with our most successful team from last season, that's Vale, because of course Vale now are back in League One, and this is about their new shirt. Valiant to continue preparations for League One return by unveiling a 150th anniversary home kit. Vale ready to get shirty. Port Vale's new home kit will be revealed on Friday. That's this Friday, the 30th, I think, of May. The 150th anniversary kit will be available to purchase online from Friday and in-store on Saturday. The club's store will be closed on Friday in preparation for launch. Team Valiant's packages are available from midday tomorrow online. Oh, I'm not sure which paper this was. It's one day this week. So I don't know when tomorrow is, sorry. I'm now recording this on Wednesday, the 28th of May. So I'm not sure, sorry, because I've just picked through three Sentinels, which was Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Four Sentinels. A statement from the club said, as is customary with a kit launch at Vale Park, there will also be a fan zone for supporters on the Saturday, and much like a match day, this will be situated within car park C. The club's store car park will remain closed, with all parking on the day being available for free at neighbouring Synectics Solutions. To make purchasing an easier process, there will be a gazebo situated outside the club's store entrance where different sizes will be available for you to try before you're making your way inside. Preparations to get the store ready for launch will start on Friday, May the 30th, at which time the main store will be closed, with the side ticketing window remaining open for retail purchases as well as our online store. It added, we're also delighted to announce that Team Valiant's packages will once again be available for supporters aged 16 and under, priced at just £30, and including a range of goodies and perks, as well as a 2025-26 home shirt. As with previous seasons, should you need an adult-sized shirt with a Team Valiant's package, the price will rise to £35. Our brand new shirt will be accompanied by a new feel store website with a refreshed design and operating system, making your online shopping experience with the club even easier. Designed with our supporters in mind, the site offers a more efficient, user-friendly experience with improved navigation, faster checkout and a streamlined layout, making for a better experience when looking for your favourite Vale merchandise. Ahead of launching the new online store, underwent early demos with the retail and ticketing working group from our supporter advisory board, giving us the opportunity to gather valuable insights. We use their feedback to help us refine key aspects of the site, including navigation improvements, product filtering and mobile accessibility, ensuring a seamless shopping experience across all devices. We're grateful for their involvement and proud to launch a store that reflects the voice of our supporters. The Valiants are heading into their 150th anniversary year on a high after clinching promotion back to League One. Darren Moore's side finished in second place in League Two this season to ensure they made an immediate return to the third tier. Moore has already started planning for their League One return by releasing Nathan Smith, Tom Sang, Ethan Chislett, Rakeem Harper and Jason Lowe. Andrew Boer, Dan Jones and Diamond Edwards have also been released. The club have confirmed they are in contract talks with Mitch Clark over a new deal, and fans will be hoping that gets over the line. Meanwhile, the club have opted to extend the contracts of young player of the season, Kyle John, defender Jesse Deborah, and Academy goalkeeper Aaron Davis. So that's quite a few players they're letting go, including Chislett, who I thought had a good season. So that's my Vale story. Now, Stoke, of course, didn't have a marvellous season. They did survive in the Championship, and let's hope for better next season. But I'm reading a story about a player who's died, a tribute story. Tributes to former Potter star Willie. Left half made more than 100 appearances for City. Tributes have been paid to former Stoke City player Willie Stevenson, who has died at the age of 85. The Scot, who hailed from Leith and began his career with Rangers, made more than 100 appearances for the Potters between 1967 and 1973. Manager Tony Waddington bought the left half to the Victoria Ground for a 30,000 fee from Liverpool. A two-time First Division winner with the Reds, either side of lifting the FA Cup in 1965, Stevenson joined City in December 1967 and featured regularly until he suffered a leg break in defeat at Tottenham Hotspur in October 1970. A popular member of the Potters side, which reached the FA Cup semi-finals in successive seasons in the early 70s, he was also with Stoke when Waddington's side lifted the 1972 League Cup, featuring in the third round as they overcame Oxford United. Stevenson, who scored 7 goals for the club, then featured for Tranmere Rovers, Vancouver Whitecaps and Macclesfield Town in the later years of his playing career. A spokesman for Stoke City said, "We send our thoughts and sincere condolences to Willie's family and friends at this sad time." And now I'll move on to cricket. And the first thing to say is Staffordshire, of course, are in the Minor Counties League. Only it's not called the Minor Counties League anymore. It's called NCCA. And this is the National County Cricket Association. So that was very interesting to me because I didn't know that had happened. So, Staffordshire. Staffordshire fought back impressively to put points on the board in their opening NCCA, so that's what I just said, the National County Cricket Association, NCCA 2020 Cup double header against Northumberland. Staffs were beaten by 10 wickets in the day's first Group 1 game at Allendale, a contest which was affected by the rain. But the weather then helped their cause in the second encounter as they managed to secure a 6-wicket win to get their short format campaign up and running. The 2020 Cup has been a profitable competition for Staffordshire in recent seasons. Captain James Kettleborough and head coach Andy Carr masterminded the county's first ever success in the 2023 event with a final victory over Cornwall at Tring Park. And last summer, they reached finals day once again, but the weather prevented the showpiece from being played on 3 separate occasions. Staffordshire didn't make the best of starts to this year's group stages, though, as they were comfortably beaten in the day's opening match. Kettleborough won the toss and opted to bat, but there were a couple of early setbacks for the visitors. Niels Priestley, who made 12, mistimed a shot off paceman Matthew Oswell and was snapped up by Harry Crawshaw at mid-off. And Staffordshire was soon 26 for 2 when Kettleborough was trapped LBW by Callum Fletcher. Callum Hawkins and Matthew Morris looked to be getting into their stride, advancing the score to 52, but both fell within 6 runs of each other. Morris was deceived in the flight by spinner Mohsin Mukhtar to depart for 9, while Hawkins, 29, feathered a catch off slow left arm at Crawshaw to keeper Chris Yeldon. And before the halfway point of the innings, Tom Moulton, who was got 13, also fell when he overbalanced to a Crawshaw delivery and was stumped by the alert Yeldon. Staffordshire desperately needed a partnership of some substance at that point, and it came in the form of a 47-run alliance between Callum Leese and Jack Redman. From a precarious 74-5, the staff's pair managed to churn out a key stand to take the innings into the later stages. However, just when they looked like opening their shoulders in the final few overs, they were both accounted for. Lees got 29. He looked to play a ramp shot off Matthew Oswell, but only succeeded in scooping the ball to Mukhtar at short fine leg. And Redmond's knock came to a conclusion when he was run out for 20. Staffordshire struggled to find momentum after that, and the innings ended with three balls to go as they were bowled out for 133. Fletcher finished with 3 for 21 for Northumberland, and Matthew Oswell and Crawshaw sharing four wickets. The weather didn't help Staffordshire cause after that, as a long rain delay prevented Northumberland from starting their reply on time. When the elements did relent, the home side were left needing a revised target of 42 off five overs. They were always favourite to do that, and even more so when Alistair Appleby took 17 off Rory Hayden's opening over. Northumberland comfortably completed victory inside 3.2 overs as Appleby finished on 32 not out and John Oswell ended up unbeaten on 8. Kettleborough won the toss again ahead of the second meeting and this time opted to field. It appeared as though Northumberland would be setting a massive target for staffs to chase as they made their way for 65 for 1 off 5.1 overs as Appleby, who got 31, and John Oswell, 24, made merry. But a rain delay then worked in Staffordshire's favour as they were able to reset and they impressed with the ball on the resumption after the contest was reduced to 16 overs per side. Oswell had already fallen before the impromptu break, but Appleby departed short immediately after the resumption when he was snapped up by Kettleborough off spinner Matthew Morris. Morris, who got 3 for 15, then had Ross Whitfield stumped by Hawkins and also removed skipper Crawshaw. And with paceman Liam Hurt dismissing Johnny Bushell, Northumberland had tumbled to 88 for 5. Their predicament became even worse when off-spinner Jack Redman saw off Roddy Bowman to leave Staffordshire on top. Hayden, 3 for 36, returned for a second spell to pick up two more wickets, while Hurt bagged his second to limit Northumberland to 115 for 9. Staffordshire would have felt that target was well within reach, but the chase didn't start off well as Priestley fell to the first ball. However, any nerves were soon settled by Hawkins and Morris, who put on 59 in just 6.1 overs. Morris was bowled by Mukhtar for 24, and Hawkins followed in the same fashion to the same bowler for a well-constructed 38. Staffs could afford to take their time at that point, with the run rate no longer an issue. Lees fell for 10, but Captain Kettleborough, 33 not out, used his experience and had Moulton, 8 not out, for company as Staffs crossed the finishing line with 7 balls to spare to provide a happy end to that day. So we've got to wish Staffordshire good luck in the, now what is it, National County Cricket Association, formerly the Minor Counties League. And my final story, it's a darts story, but it's not a darts match, it's a retirement. And it's Phil Taylor, who else? Power off for good. Legend officially retires from darts. Darts legend Phil Taylor has officially retired from all forms of the sport 7 years after his last professional match. Since calling it a day, Phil has featured in exhibitions, but now the 64-year-old Port Vale fan from Burslem will step away from the hockey for good after a series of injuries. Taylor won the World Championship 16 times. His final professional outing, ended in defeat when Rob Cross beat him on January the 1st, 2018. Taylor, nicknamed the Power, remains a huge draw, especially with darts fans, and plans to continue engaging with them around the country. He's continued to travel to take part in several events. In a statement this week, he said, "After a long and fantastic career over the last 40 years, I announce that from today I am retiring from playing darts." It has been a privilege to be part of such a vibrant and passionate community. I would like to thank each and everyone for your support through this incredible journey. Your encouragement and enthusiasm have been the driving force behind my success, a journey which has enabled me to achieve more than I could have ever imagined. I am grateful for the friendships I've formed and the experiences I've shared. As one chapter closes, another one opens. This transition opens up new opportunities for me to explore and engage with the sport in different ways. Taylor previously admitted that he doesn't even have a dartboard at his home anymore. Wow. He said, "The grandkids have got my dartboard and my mates have got my darts. I've not got one trophy. My daughter has them all and my family and friends have them. You can't eat trophies, so I'm not too bothered. You have to clean them, so I've given them to somebody else." Taylor recently visited the House of Commons to discuss the rising cost of heating homes. He was joined by Blind Screen co-founders Lenny Reynolds and Paul Cheatham for a presentation on heat-saving thermal window blinds. Taylor spoke to Labour MP and Under-Secretary of State for Energy, Meata Fanbulla. Chatting about the experience with the mirror, the darts icon joked, "After all these years of trying to turn up the power on the hockey, now I'm trying to get the country to turn the power down. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I'd find myself at the House of Commons rubbing shoulders with MPs and asking them for help with bringing down the cost of heating our homes. I was a bit cross when the winter fuel allowance was scrapped. I can get by without it, but I know people back home in Stoke-on-Trent who have struggled to keep warm." So that's what Phil's up to now. Something to do with blinds that keep the heat in. And that's my sport.